Music City Todd approved. The Bill King Show.
Some questions from the audience, some tough ones too. I was just looking at these. Johnny Vegas, ask Buck, this is tough, who's done a better job, Dykes at TCU or Lincoln Riley?
Ooh.
I mean,
man, golly. I may have to go Lincoln Riley. Just slightly, only because I know Sonny got into the transfer portal and pulled some kids from there. Having familiarity with TCU gives him a little bit of a leg up, right? I just think with Lincoln Riley, you know, Bruin giving Trojans credit, but I got to give him credit here when you get Caleb Williams and then you also get all the other guys and the parts that fit so well. Because, you know, SC has a lot of tradition, but they were not a very good offensive and defensive line team. Their offensive line is really starting to play well, and they're playing well defensively. I still don't think their defensive line is great, but what I think they do is turn the ball over pretty well. So I go with a slight lean towards Lincoln Riley. However, I saw TCU live, and coming away from that game, I thought, you know, they were going to be good. I didn't know they were going to be this good, but, you know, even in talking to Sonny Dykes, he was really wanting us to understand how good his defense was going to be. They weren't there yet, but they were going to be playing well, and you can see that here down the stretch. That defense has kind of saved them in some ball games, even when their offense hadn't played well. And then Max Duggan, think about him. He wasn't even the guy playing. He was, you know, he had been there a long time, but they weren't sure if he was their starter, and he's a Heisman Trophy candidate. So I give the lean to Lincoln Riley, but I'd say Sonny Dykes has done a really nice job at TCU.
Is Southern Cal good enough, Buck, though, to win a national championship? Have they come that far?
No, I don't think so. I think here's the deal. I think we have to – this year, everybody before the season was saying the Pac-12 was not going to be good. I didn't agree with that, but I had to see it play out because I knew Utah was good. I knew Washington was going to be much better. I knew Oregon State was going to be better. I knew Oregon was going to be better, even after the way they got throttled by Georgia. But with all that said, the problem for me with USC has been their defense. And they can turn you over, but if they're not getting turnovers, what happens to them then? They're going to score points now. You're going to be hard-pressed to stop Caleb Williams and, you know, Jordan Addison and, you know, the rest of that crew. And they can run the ball now. I think that was a question mark with Travis Dye going out, but they still seem to have been able to keep that going. The problem is their defense at some point seems like it can come back and hurt them. And, you know, look at UCLA. UCLA's defense was not very good this year. And the thing with UCLA turned the ball over how many times, and, you know, basically giving Caleb Williams extra opportunities, and they were right there in that game. So I think at some point their defense hamstrings them this year, especially in the college football playoff, when you have to be able to make some stops and you have to be able to do it consistently, which I haven't seen them do over the course of the season. So that's kind of my assessment of it. But the thing is, you and I both know if quarterback gets hot, the opposing offense doesn't play as well as they play and their defense isn't playing. We've seen that with games this year where teams have been able to score 50-something points. And we used to say, well, that was the Pac-12. No, that's happening in the SEC. So I think their defense isn't good enough. But, you know, who knows when you get an opportunity to play and you know, in those games and opportunities like that. So I'm interested to watch the next steps for them and see if their defense can help them get through it, even this weekend, you know, in the Pac-12 championship game.
Randy in Virginia says, your thoughts on Luke Fickell to Wisconsin?
You know, that's a weird thing, Bill, because I thought Jim Leonard had a real good shot at that, but then after he didn't get it after, I think, what was a big win, Nebraska for them. And then they just didn't play all that well this year. I think it's a good move for Luke. I don't know if it's a great move, right? I just, you know, Wisconsin has generally been one of those upper-tier Big Ten teams. Can they get back to that? I think Luke can recruit with the best of them. He's shown at Cincinnati the things he's been able to do there. I think he's a guy that understands and cut his teeth in the Big Ten. It gives them, you know, another coach that can go out and recruit and another coach that knows how to win. So I think it's a great move for Wisconsin. I think it's a good move for Luke Fickell. You know, I mean, but out of the options that have been there now, it's probably the best one. And it'll be interesting to see long-term how that'll work for him, because I know he wanted to go to Ohio State, but think about the way Ryan Day is being treated, almost like, you know, John Cooper, because he's lost two straight games to Michigan. And this one was a bad loss, in my opinion. The way, you know, it was just Michigan beat them up front. You know, physically they were just more impressive than Ohio State. And I don't ever remember saying that over the last couple of years, in particular with Ryan Day. So for the move from that perspective, Luke Fickell ending up going there, I think it's a great move for Wisconsin. And I think it really helps him stay in his footprint in his area of understanding, and gives Wisconsin a guy that has been successful where he's been.
Buck, if I wanted to yesterday, I could have done just a show solely on Buckeye fans calling in screaming.
Hey,
seriously.
I know a lot of them here in Charlotte, man, and I got the same response. My daughter went to Michigan, so sometimes I wear the block M, and I see the disdain for the Ohio State fans, and I say, look, I paid money there, people, so I'm aware of this stuff. If I want to, I'm a UCLA guy, but you guys have to play better at home when you got chances. And you're right. Everywhere I have turned over the last few days, that is all I've heard. And it's interesting. I knew as the game was winding down, I'm like, okay, if Ohio State comes back and wins this, they'll be complaining because the defense will play well. But when they kept getting beat and got beat badly on their home turf, I was like, this is not going to be pretty. because you can lose on the road. You can lose in a game where, they may kick a field goal and beat you. But it looked like Michigan was the more dominant team later in the game. And that was without their supposedly best running back. I'm not going to take credit from Daniels, because he can run the ball as well. But I just think Michigan has figured out something with Ohio State now. And not only on the offensive side, but the defensive side as well. And that's, if you're an Ohio State fan, you got to be a little concerned. But look, guys, this guy has done a lot for you so far. So it's only two. It's not like 9 in a row. It's not like 10 in a row. I can't tell them to be calm, because I know how college football works. But, man, they have – I know you could do a show on it again today, Bill. I bet you can do one right now if we started it.
There's no doubt. Danny in New York City says, Buck, I have been reading in the editorial section of the LA Times about Chip Kelly not being the right guy at UCLA after the Southern Cal loss. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I can't say he's not the right guy, but I think – so here, Chip has had an interesting relationship with the UCLA fans. And I think this year he really – got things going. They were in a position to be, you know, pretty successful. I think the problem for some fans that you look at, and they're thinking, okay, how can Lincoln Riley come over and compete right away? I think that's the thing that concerns UCLA fans. You know, just looking at it objectively, saying if I'd never gone to school there, because it had been that you have to get these recruiting cycles, you got to go through this. Now you're seeing coaches go places, and they're pretty good instantly. It's because they've done a good job not only recruiting high school players, but also in the transfer portal, and in particular grad transfers that can come in that potentially may have not just 1 year, but a couple of years. And the biggest thing with Chip's off defenses, they have not been good since he's been there. This year they played better early on. Bill McGovern had some health issues and couldn't call games at the end, the thing that shocked me was that Ken Norton wasn't calling the plays, and that Clancy Pendergast, who I think Clancy has done a nice job in the past, but there were just times where you didn't know what the defensive scheme was. So I think that's where some of the discussion from the UCLA folks has come. And I think that's the part, they have to improve their defense. They've got to allow guys like Ken Norton Jr. and some of the other guys on that defensive staff, who I think will have some fresh ideas, really call plays. And they've also got to upgrade their talent, because SC is only going to get better. They're not going to get worse. And I think that's the concern, especially when you have Stanford that's been down. David Shaw just stepped down, and some of the other things. So I think that's where you're hearing some of that from the UCLA fans, which to me, Bill, I'm okay with, because in the past they would have been saying, "Oh, I'm happy with 10 wins." No, if you're going to compete at the highest level, you've got to win 11, 12, 13 games. Winning 10 is great, but that doesn't get you in the college football playoff, and that doesn't make you competitive with SC moving forward, because they're only going to get better. They're not going to get worse. And I think that's why you hear that from some of the fans on the UCLA side.
Steven in Hawkinsville, Georgia, points out if Georgia ends up the one seed, which right now they would be, and Southern Cal is a four seed, they'd play in Atlanta. That'd be a pretty big advantage, wouldn't it? But not only Georgia's Georgia, but you're playing basically at home.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we look at these neutral site games, you got to say, hey, where are you going to end up playing? And where the advantage is going to go, right? And I think that's why you want to be in the highest seed that you can be. And if you're not, you got to figure out, okay, how can I go on the road and beat a team that we're playing in their backyard? I mean, that's just the luck of the draw. To me, it's like, hey, I'd rather be the four seed and in it than the no seed and be watching, right? Because you give yourself a chance. Clearly, when you have to go to a place like Atlanta and you're playing Georgia, all bets are off. We all know that's just that's a basic home game for the Bulldogs. But I still think it's a chance, if you're USC or anybody in that fourth slot, at least you got the chance to be in it, and you have a chance to potentially make some things happen.
Buck, your thoughts on Hugh Freeze getting the Auburn job?
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about that for a few weeks, right? It seemed like it hit a snag late. And I would say Cadillac Williams did a great job there. I'm just wondering now, how does he factor into it? Or if he's not at Auburn, who picks him up? Because you can clearly see the young man can coach, and he cares about the game. And I don't think it's one of those things where he can only coach at Auburn. I'm happy that he got that opportunity. Now I hope he can parlay that into something. But, yeah, I mean, am I shocked? No. I think we've kind of known that if anything would have happened with Brian Harsin, which it did, Hugh Freeze's name would be right at the top. And once Lane Kiffin signed that extension and some of the chips started falling early, you could just kind of tell what was going to happen. Hey, now it's a matter of, you know, you got your guy. Now let's, what are you going to do? Because this Auburn fan base, you know, they can be a little, a little temperamental, right? And, you know, we'll see right away. You know, Hugh is going to recruit. You know, his offense is going to be explosive. I think the big thing is, you know, for the fans that didn't want him there, how much noise will they continue to make? That's what I always get concerned with any coaching search, not just the Auburn one. You know, how do you get the whole fan base behind, and particularly the money fan base? If that can happen, I think this Auburn team will be talking about them in the next few years competing again, because he offensively, he's going to design some things. I mean, I got to spend 2 weeks with him learning his offense and his philosophy and how he thinks. And it as simple as you think it is, that's how hard it is to stop. And, you know, I don't think that's changed. You can see that by him even at Liberty, being able to get a guy like Malik Willis, who was really raw and still learning, but was able to be drafted pretty high with the Tennessee Titans. So, yeah, I think we're going to start seeing the competitive nature of that SEC West continue to grow. And it'll just be interesting to see how that Iron Bowl shapes up now that you have Hugh Freeze going against Nick Saban.
Charles Arbuckle with us every Thursday. Buck, maybe 30 seconds. Your grade on Marcus Freeman year one, they went 8-4.
Yeah, I think Marcus did a great job. I mean, think about the offensive ineptitude of Notre Dame early in the year and how the defense held them in. And then late in the year, they're being competitive in games, even in the USC game, which everybody thought they were going to get blown out. USC finally flexed their muscles and pulled away. But I really think the thing I like about him is that the team wanted him as a head coach. They saw something, and it worked in their advantage. And he is really, I think, going to make a difference at Notre Dame. It's always hard to get past that next step. Brian Kelly saw it as well. That's why he decided to leave. But I like what he's doing so far, and I like how he's gotten the fan base, which is a fickle one as well, behind him. Now it's how do you win your bowl game? How do you keep some of your offensive and defensive staffs together? And how do you just get better outside weapons? If they can get some explosive players like they've had in the past, I think we'll be talking about them winning, you know, at a high percentage over the next few years, just because he seems like a guy that is wise beyond his years, but he's really been around some great programs, and I'm interested to watch how he grows and develops.
Buck, good stuff, man. See you next week.
All right, Bill. Take care.
Charles R.